absolute power corrupts absolutely.
DJ Khaled.
Hey.
Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Master Plan. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, sitting in for JT, ATM Money, and the Reverend. This plans to be an action-packed show. Pretty much, we're going to center around fantasy baseball. There's a ton of stuff to talk about today, but first thing I'm going to talk about happens to be the retirement of Rashad Mendenhall, okay? So we're going to tackle that first. But on today's show, I'm going to give you some secrets to winning your fantasy baseball league. Yes, I have not won my fantasy baseball leagues. I've placed second and third in several. The past years haven't been that great. However, let me go Stephen A. on you. However, I have a plan, a master plan, so you got to win this year, give you some projected bust and some projected sleepers, okay? I'm going to go in depth about that also. There's something called the number one overall pick. Is it Mike Trout? And in a surprise, maybe not to a lot, but to a few, Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks is in the top three of a lot of sites' fantasy baseball drafts, mocks, and projections. This I find interesting. Well, today we're going to discuss that stuff. We're going to discuss a couple things, along with a few other items of note. If I'm by myself, I'm by myself. But I'm going to make it do what it do because I do what it does. You dig? All right, all right, all right. Let's get right into it, okay? First of all, let's talk about Rashad Mendenhall, former Pittsburgh Steeler running back, now or soon to be former Arizona Cardinal running back. Adam Schefter of ESPN reported that Rashad's hanging it up. Now, there was a quote that Rashad gave, I think, in February about, you know, finding his peace and doing what he's done. He's satisfied with it, and after 6 years of playing running back in the NFL, he no longer wants to do it. He wants to move on with his life. Now, I'll say this. Mendenhall is a very good running back, fragile running back, but a very good running back. Now, his abilities are often underscored as you look at his body of work. In 6 years, now again, Terrell Davis, former Denver Bronco, was a finalist in the NFL Hall of Fame this year. 7 years, injury, shortened his career. Mendenhall is walking away after six. Barry Sanders, I believe after 8 or 9 years, decided to walk away, healthy and seemingly at the top of the football rankings, seemingly. The three of those men have in common are, obviously, they're running backs. The second thing is they've all gone to the Super Bowl. But the thing that stands out between the three are, one, a Super Bowl championship. I believe, no, I take it back. All three won a Super Bowl championship. All three did. No, Barry never won a Super Bowl. I'm smoking crack. I'm sorry. Rashad Lindenholland, he won Super Bowl titles and had that ring. Barry did not. Barry left a legacy of elusiveness, work ethic, and he pretty much took an entire city on his back all the way to the NFC Championship game against the Washington Redskins. Lindenhall, yeah, he ran for the Steelers in the Super Bowl. He wasn't the star of the Super Bowl. That was San Antonio Holmes, and he went and got a big paycheck. But the thing I'm going to remember slightly more so about Rashad Lindenhall than anything is his tweet after the announcement was made that the United States had killed Osama bin Laden. And I'm not going to sound, you know, all patriotic and stuff like that, even though I am. But on the same side of that, I think about what Rashad Mendenhall tweeted. He tweeted how, you know, the country should not be rejoicing in the fact that a man has died and so on and so forth. And to a point, I agree. Because we should never, ever cheer for the death of someone, even though you might hate them for their heinous crime or whatever it is they did to you, you should never cheer for the death of someone. However, going back to Stephen A., however, it struck me as weird that Rashard took such a stance. Now, again, the young man has his own beliefs, religious and otherwise, and he's entitled to them. He defended his stance somewhat vigorously until Pittsburgh told him to be quiet. Consequently, that year, he had a very quiet year. I believe he got injured, and he was out at Pittsburgh. Bruce Arians grabbed him, brought him to Arizona, where he did decently. Again, injury-prone, injuries found him. And it made it difficult for this guy to be the productive back that everybody thought he was. I mean, people thought he was going to be better than Beanie Wells, who was often injury-prone. Turns out he was better, but still injury-prone. So 6 years, Super Bowl ring, and a mediocre career by the standards of his abilities. By no means was he mediocre, but by the ability that he had or has, one could consider it a mediocre career because he could have done a lot more damage. I'm not going to completely blame the offensive line because last year's offensive line in Arizona was a lot better than the previous offensive line. But needless to say, Rashard Mendenhall plans to be retired very, very soon, according to Adam Schefter, ESPN. Now, another surprising move that I guess it isn't surprising, but how does it work for this one team? Darren Sproles of the New Orleans Saints is scheduled to be released, or should have been released on yesterday. I'm talking about Saturday, from his contract with the New Orleans Saints. Now, New Orleans has a ton of running backs. I got it. The value of the running back has decreased in the passing era of the NFL. But this guy is not only a running back, but he's a receiving machine. 71 passes he caught last year. 71. Then he had like 5 or 6 touchdowns total. That one game where he had like 3. A vital part of the offense. And New Orleans is getting rid of Pierre Thomas. They're looking to get rid of him. Lance Moore's already gone, but I think Kenny Stills stepped up pretty well and became a main target for Drew Brees, so that's not a big deal. But apparently all this is for Jimmy Graham. Darren Sproles, where does Darren Sproles land? You know, speculation from my other co-host, JT18 Money, says that Jacksonville wouldn't be a bad spot. I didn't think of Jacksonville. I really didn't. They have a Denard Robinson, former quarterback of Michigan, there who can fit that bill. But if you can get Darren Sproles in there, that tells me 2 things. One, you don't plan on having Maurice Jones-Drew back, which I figured anyway. And 2, they're desperate because you re-signed Chad Henne and deemed him the starter, so to speak. That also tells me that Jacksonville is going to pick a quarterback with their pick. Will it be Teddy Bridgewater? Will it be Johnny Manziel? Will it be Blake Broyles? Will it be Garoppolo? Who knows? It could be even Mr. Carr from Fresno State. We don't know. 2-year deal, $8 million in Jacksonville. He's a stopgap. And since he's a stopgap, they're getting a quarterback. Since they're getting a quarterback, it does make sense that Darren Sproles could sign there as a free agent. Maybe even Ahmad Bradshaw. Now, if Ahmad Bradshaw goes down to Jacksonville, there's going to be a really big attitude adjustment with that ball club, honestly. Because he's going to push you, he's going to push everybody, and he's going to make things very difficult. Very difficult. In that locker room, which is a good thing because he's a vet, Super Bowl champion, and he wants to win. I can see him doing very well there. You get the both of them very cheaply, actually. You get Darren Sproles cheaply. You get Ahmad Bradshaw cheaply. You keep Denard Robinson, and you mix in. Well, they got another running back, too, another young running back. And you mix them in. Seems like a good formula to me. Especially when, you know, Justin Blackmon, I don't know what this guy's issue is. All that talent. For some weed? Shadow weed? Come on, man. Come on. Really? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go take a break in the football. When we come back, we're going to jump right into fantasy baseball. We're going to start off with the projections. Some projections by ESPN and some of their characters, so to speak. But we'll be back in a couple minutes.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, The FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and The Joker, and The Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. Thanks for coming back and joining us. It's the Master Plan here on Sunday morning. It's me, Mr. FSP, sitting in for JTATM Money, as well as the Reverend. Both had previous obligations, so I had to sit in for them and take care of business. So on today's episode, we have already talked about Rashad Mendenhall retiring, along with some possibilities of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and a couple other situations in pro football. Let's turn our attention to fantasy baseball. This is what you really came in for, right? Some fantasy baseball. So I'm looking at like CBS, ESPN, Fox, and all these different sports sites, and looking at their fantasy rankings. And something that stuck out to me was that a lot of them, if not all of them, have Paul Goldschmidt in the top five of fantasy baseball this year. Now, I get it. The kid was solid last year. I get it. The Diamondbacks were pretty good last year, too. But top five? Really? I don't know. But according to ESPN, they have the top 15 listed. And break them down real quick. They have Mike Trout, just like I do, and others around have Mike Trout sitting at number one overall. Last year's numbers were pretty good, 589 at bats, 109 runs, 27 home runs, 97 RBIs, 110 walks, which is huge, 110 walks. 136 Ks, though, 33 stolen bases, average of 320.323 with his on-base percentage of .432. Slugging. This kid, pretty much half the time he went up to bat, was a home run, .557. And his OPS on, I can't think of the P right now. .988. Nonetheless, kid's 21. Just signed a one-year contract with the Angels to boosts up his pay for this year, next year becomes a free agent, I think that's a sign or a symbol of, okay, well, we're willing to work with you and pay you to keep you here. But I said all along that I think this guy is and should go to the Boston Red Sox. I'm not a Red Sox guy. I am, but I prefer the Washington Nationals. But I think the Red Sox can pay him the amount of money that he wants, put him in a situation where he can win right now and still be young to enjoy it. Now, you might say, well, he has all that in Anaheim or Los Angeles, the Angels, without Pujols and Hamilton and Jared Weaver and all the other guys. But for some reason, it's just not right over there. I don't know what it is, but it's just not right over there. And he's projected to have very similar numbers, take a dip in the RBIs and the walk section, strikeouts and stolen bases may go up, but seemingly he's supposed to be consistent. Again, this is according to ESPN. Will he take a dip? I don't think so. I think his numbers are going to get better. Seriously, I think his numbers are going to get better. He'll be 22. He's going to have tons of opportunities. Did I mention he had 110 walks last year? How many of those were intentional? I don't know. But the fact that the kid, okay, at the age of 21, had 110 walks, shows his patience at the plate. Of course, we got Albert Pujols and some other folks coming behind because I believe he was leadoff. Howie Kendrick, who is steady hitter as well. You're going to get tons and tons of opportunities at the top of the lineup, 110 walks. Amazing. Move on to last year's, some people thought should have been the number one overall pick. And again, Milky Cabrera was, or Miguel Cabrera was, he was consistent as he did a 555 at bats, 103 runs, 44 RBIs, 137 RBIs, 90 walks, 94 strikeouts, which is significantly less, almost 42 strikeouts less than Mike Trout, but only 3 stolen bases, slightly better average of 348, on-base percentage of .442, slugging .636, and his OPS 1.078. Now, the tail end numbers are pretty much better than Trout. However, the at-bats, he lost 34 at-bats less than Mike Trout. He I think he might have caught up to the strikeouts. I think. Maybe. Maybe not. But Milky is, or Miguel, is a pretty good bet for consistency. Again, his numbers look to be about the same for this upcoming season. But the problem was at the end of last year, you know, he missed 13 games. Those 13 games are your playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. Those are your playoffs. And if Milky isn't going to be there or Miguel's not going to be there, maybe you need to make sure you have an insurance policy. Two big bats, three big bats, something like that, because 13 games at the end of the season, that could mean the championship or money that you had planned on spending goes to the other guy. Really, quite honestly, not a good thing. However, the guy is consistent. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It's the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. So go there today, place your wagers, and get paid. You can also join us in the chat room. It's wide open. Go to blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. And scroll on down to the live episode and jump on the chat. Willing to listen and talk and take some suggestions. But let me get back to this top 10, top 15. Andrew McCutchen. Now, this kid, you know, he powered the Pirates. The kid is, to me, now I would have this order. I would go Mike Trout, McCutchen, then Cabrera. That's just me. Okay? But according to ESPN, they have Mike Trout, Cabrera, McCutchen. Now, last year's numbers for McCutchen, out of 583 at-bats, he had 97 runs, 21 home runs, 84 RBIs, 78 walks, 101 strikeouts, 27 stolen bases, batting average of .317, on-base percentage of .404, slugging, again, this is a small guy, slugging, .508 OPS, .911. I mean, that's pretty solid, especially for a small guy. You know, he's 27 years old, and he's constantly hitting the ball hard. And he gets stolen bases. The one thing that puts a player, and this is just FSP's opinion, the one thing that puts a player over another in my book is stolen bases. If they can get similar home runs, similar hits, similar walks and stuff like that, if you can steal bases and still have power, that says a lot to me. And that does a lot for me. So, with that being said, the projections for Andrew McCutchen, I think he's going to have 587 at-bats, 102 runs, a boost, nine more home runs, making it 30, an increase in RBI at 93. They think he's going to walk about the same, and he's going to strike out about nine more times. Stolen bases went up or went down to 24, average to like a thousandth of a dip at the 315. Pretty much his numbers look to be the same. Pretty much. Safe bet there. Now here's a guy that I'm not sure should be in the top four, top five, or even the top 20. Good talent. Very good talent. But I don't think he deserves to be number five according to ESPN. Paul Goldschmidt, Arizona Diamondback first baseman. Okay, the guy is good. The guy is good. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's top five. Last year, he had a lot of at-bats, 602, more than anybody on this list. 103 runs, 36 home runs, 125 RBIs, 99 walks, 145 strikeouts. 145, 15 stolen bases, 302 average, on base percentage of 401, slugging 551, OPS 952. Now, the difference between him and Mike Trout, because you might be saying, well, Mike Trout had a lot of strikeouts. But Mike Trout also had 33 stolen bases. Again, remember, things I'm looking for to offset. Paul Goldschmidt, 15. He's not a stolen base person. He also had a few more, almost 20 more, if I'm not mistaken. He had about 12 more, 13 more at-bats than Mike Trout. So, yeah, numbers say he belongs up there. Personally, I'm going to try to get Schmidt in the third, fourth round. Now, some people might go off of these settings and say, you know what, head-to-head, rotary, or whatever, they're going to get Schmidt in the top four or five picks. I don't agree with that. I don't. But, hey, it is what it is. Let's keep it moving. We got about a half an hour left. Still going to get some bust and some sleepers here. Carlos Gonzalez. Now, the kid was injured last year. I had him last year. But he's a good player. And in 391 at bat, hit 72 runs, 26 home runs, 70 RBIs, 41 walks, 118 Ks, 21 stolen bases, average of 302, on base percentage of 367, slugging 591, OPS 958. Now, I like Cargo. They're projecting him to have a pretty much very similar year. Sorry, guys. Except expect him to be a little bit more healthy and reach 540 at-bats. I don't know about that. He and Tulowitzki tend to get hurt. And that's why I think Tulowitzki's not even in the top 20. But it is what it is. This guy, again, projections, things that have uptick in his home runs, but also his strikeouts. Because in 391 games, he had 118. He's swinging, guys. This guy is swinging or he's looking. And that's not good. But for the purpose of fantasy baseball, his numbers are good. I think he'll be okay. Next, at number six, Chris Davis. This kid came out of nowhere. He was part of a trade that the Orioles made, and they got younger. This kid was on fire. He had a hitting streak of 17 home runs last year off of curveballs and sliders. So I think a lot of people aren't going to throw in those pitches anymore. He hit, after the All-Star break, 245. And only 16 home runs. So people caught up to him and saw what he was up to. But he belted out 53 home runs last year. 53. Him and Jacoby Ellsbury, I believe he ran the gambit as the home run king last year. But he tapered off at the end of the year. He started off hot, very hot, actually, and then tapered off. But 584 at-bats, 103 runs, 53 home runs, 138 RBIs, 72 walks. But he is alarming, because he's a home run hitter, guys. 199 strikeouts, 199, only 4 stolen bases, average of 286. On base, 370, slugging 634 with OPS of 104. Now, 1004, I'm sorry. Kid stays healthy. Kid can hit. But the guy likes to swing. And he has an average. 286, projected at 282 this upcoming season. But is this guy going to be able to do those home runs? Because if he can get you 127 RBIs, 98 runs this year, 47 home runs this year. Are you willing to take those Ks? Because in a lot of leagues, especially ones that I run, K's count against you. K's count against you. That's 196 K's. It's a category. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens. That is what happens. You got to understand that. Is that what you're going to deal with? I don't know. Now, a guy that I like moving from one team to the next but in the same division is Jacoby Ellsbury. I like this guy. ESPN and other sites, including CBS, have him in the seventh spot. Jacoby Ellsbury is a solid play, solid hitter. Seven is pretty good for him, especially with the crop of hitters that are out there, along with pitchers. I think this year we're going to be down on pitching. So, you know, you take your chances. You got $153 million from the Yankees. And that can be a lot of pressure. But he played for Boston. So that should tell you that the kid is you know, he's used to it. He's a 30-30 guy. So 30 stolen bases, 30 runs type guy, or walk, I should say. But last year, 577 at-bats, 92 runs. He's not a big power guy, though. 9 home runs, 53 RBIs, 47 walks, 92 strikeouts. But here's a good number, and I told you, I really like this year. Stolen bases. 52 stolen bases last year. 52. 298 average, 355 on base percentage. He slugs at .426. OPS is .781. He's projected these very similar numbers, double up on his home runs because the Yankees have a hitter's park. Okay? He has a hitter's park. Now, you don't expect huge numbers from him, but you can expect some good numbers. Now, I think that because he's somewhat injury-prone, you're looking at a guy that is not going to be in your top 10. He's not even going to be in your top 20. But you can steal him. You can steal him. Third round, in my opinion, to get a solid guy. Solid guy. Now let's move on to number 8, where they have Edwin Encarnacion, first baseman and a DH for the Toronto Blue Jays, who, you know, they have their set of power. They got Bautista, they got Reyes, Encarnacion, but these guys had health issues, all three of them. But last year, Edwin went to bat 530 times, 90 runs, 36 home runs, 104 RBIs, 82 walks, 62 Ks, which is good, especially with that ratio. But he only had 7 stolen bases and an average of .272, on-base percentage of .370, slugging, 534 OPS, 904. Now, I like the fact that he is he's got that lineup around him, but he just came off of left wrist surgery. So, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be that dominant again this year, but you got Bautista and Reyes wrapped around him, so he's going to get some pitches. But we'll see. We shall see. Another great guy who I think's in the top 5. I think he should replace Paul Goldschmidt, but he's older. He's older, and I understand why he is where he is. That's Robinson Cano, who left New York and went to Seattle. Last year, the young man, I went to bat 605 times, 81 runs, 27 home runs, 107 RBI, 65 walks, 85 hits, which isn't bad. 7 stolen bases. Average of 314 with an on-base percentage of 383. Slugging 516. OPS 899. Now, I like this guy here a lot. I think he's going to be the steal. He and Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun is listed as number 15, but I'm not going to get to 15. I'm just going to give a shot to these guys real quick and move on. But I think Cano has opportunity up in Seattle to quietly make a run at the books. Seattle's very young and talented. That's a dangerous combination. But this old guy, who really isn't old, really isn't. Let's put this old guy up there, 10 years, $240 million, and he's eager to prove that he's worth it. You got a big, big problem. AL West. I mean, the kid can hit. He takes good care of the ball on the defensive side. And, you know, he's a name that people are like, oh, got to pitch against him. Help set up Seattle. I like him right there, especially at number 9. Number 10, the lone pitcher in their top 15 is Clayton Kershaw. 33 games started, 33 games appeared, 236 innings pitched, exactly, 52 walks. Here's the big, juicy part. 232 strikeouts. Woo! But he only won 16 of his 33 games. ERA, outstanding. 1.83 with a whip of .92. He would throw 8.85 strikes per 9 innings. The problem is he didn't get a lot of support, especially in the beginning of the season. We got Yasiel Puig, who I think a lot of people are going to try to get in the first round this year. I really think they are. It is just my thought. They're going to see him like, oh, I'm going to get him. Don't waste your money. My opinion. But he looks at very similar numbers, except going to bump it up to 20 wins and slightly increases ERA to 2.7. That's still freaking outstanding, especially in this day and age where, like, 3 earned runs is like that, the average of a Major League Baseball player now. It's ridiculous. Now, there's more people listed. I only got 15 minutes left of live air, so I'm going to jump on the sleepers and busts real quick. But Adrian Beltre is a guy like Adam Jones, another guy to look out for, and he'll get buried a little bit, is Hanley Ramirez. I love Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun, on or off the juice, is still a very good batter, very good player. So, despite his lies and stuff like that, I still think he's a very good player and somebody can grab. They have listed number 15. Fielder down in Texas might be a good fit. Him and Rod Washington, man, good fit. Good fit. Strikeouts might be coming. Last year he hit 117 strikeouts. But, big guy, big power, big opportunities. All right, that's enough of that. I gave you the top 10 according to ESPN and some matching ones from CBS.com and, I've got the other one. But anyway, I didn't use Yahoo. I did not use Yahoo. I probably could have, but I didn't. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Give me a second to catch my breath. And when I come back, I'm going to give you your bust and your sleepers. Be right back.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, David?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back real quick. Let's get into the sleepers and creepers fantasy baseball this year. Now, according to the panel at ESPN, they've compiled some sleepers and great folks at for this upcoming year. Start with catchers. Now, the one person that came up the most was Mascarco. Okay, Mascarco at catcher. He's a guy. Devin Mascarco is projected to be a pretty good sleeper for the Cincinnati Reds. Last year, he hit .238 with 31 runs, 9 home runs, 42 RBIs, no stolen bases. But on the cheap, he was an overall prospect last year. He was Keith Law's number 2 catcher overall. This year, projection of .262, so his batting average goes up, his runs go up by 20 to 51. I think he's going to hit 16 home runs. Oh, wow. Sorry, guys. This leaping forward business got to me. 16 home runs, 64 RBIs, and 2 stolen bases, which isn't bad. Another person mentioned is Martin. I don't think Martin is a sleeper because last year he had a Russell Martin, that is, out of Pittsburgh. Last year he had a pretty decent year, 15 home runs, 51 runs, 55 RBIs, 9 stolen bases. But his average kept him on a lot of waiver wires at .226. That's what I think a lot of folks shied away from. I picked him up and dropped him off and on last year, but I think he's going to be more consistent, especially with McCutcheon and another bat that they got there. So the first base, a couple guys in here. Some people say Mark Texeria might be a good sleeper. Texeria is not a sleeper. Yeah, he's coming back off of injury, but he's not a sleeper. Brandon Belt. I like Brandon Belt a lot. He could play in different positions. That's why I like him. Last year he had .289 with 76 runs, 17 home runs, 67 RBIs, 5 stolen bases. This year, they believe his average is going to drop to .278, but his runs and home runs, RBIs, and stolen bases are going to go up. I think he's a guy that the Giants, San Francisco Giants, can use in many, many different ways. And since he's a lefty, causes a lot of trouble for other people in home run hitting ballparks. So that's pretty good for him. At second base, let me go to second base. The one name that was mentioned twice was Josh Rutledge out in Colorado. Not that great of numbers, but you know, he has room to improve. Average .235, 45 runs, 7 home runs, 19 RBIs, 12 stolen bases. Again, I like the stolen bases situation. I think his numbers will increase. His average, everything across the board looks to increase. Average of .264, 51 runs, 9 home runs, 32 RBIs, 13 stolen bases. There is no guarantee. Right now, this guy is day-to-day. So, he's hurt a little bit. But we'll see what happens with him. Let's go to shortstop. Now, Simmons is not a sleeper in my book. I picked him up last year, talking about Simmons for Atlanta. the kid was pretty sure-handed, and he could hit, which was great for me. Great for me. But last year, he was a sleeper, in my opinion. This year, not so much, but Brad Miller is another guy that the folks here at ESPN think is going to be a good sleeper. The last year's numbers, 265, 41 runs, 8 home runs, 36 RBIs, 5 stolen bases this year. Very minuscule increase in average, so much so I'm not even going to mention it, but 54 runs, 12 home runs, 49 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. He looks to be one of those young guns I was talking about in Seattle around Robinson Cano, and he plays the infield as well at shortstop. So he's a guy you can keep your eye on. Not sure if he's going to be the big splash you want, but he's a guy to keep your eye on. Will Middlebrooks. Now listen, third baseman. Last year was a terrible year for him, and he had decent numbers, but it was terrible. He had 227, 41 runs, 17 home runs, 49 RBIs, 3 stolen bases. But the year prior to that, he was pretty hot. He was one of those guys that I would say had an opportunity to break out. This year, ESPN has him doing that slightly. I think his average is going to go up to maybe 280, 290, but ESPN has him going up to 254, 62 runs, 26 home runs, 87 RBIs, and 6 stolen bases. I think that's a little conservative for him, especially now that he's one of the main guys in Boston. You still got Poppy there. He hasn't retired yet, but Ellsbury's gone. So that means if Middlebrook can stay healthy, more opportunities, more opportunities. Let's go to the outfield where B.J. Upton looks to be your sleeper, but I don't like Upton. I don't. I really don't. 0.184 average for a major leaguer. He got demoted to the minors for a couple of weeks or a series or so. 30 runs, 9 home runs, 26 RBI, 12 stolen bases. I like the Upton brothers, but I don't like BJ. And right now he's hurt. I think you have a better chance with Hunter Pence bouncing back or Josh Hamilton bouncing back this year than you do with B.J. Upton. Again, I'm just reading off of what ESPN has. Starting pitchers, two people can agree on one, but, you know, I don't think Jarrett Weaver is a sleeper. I don't think Salazar is a sleeper or Fisher's a sleeper. Kazmir, who was pretty good last year, just not consistent. You know, I think Scott Kazmir is a guy you can get. 10-9, 162 strikeouts, 4.04 ERA, and a whiff of 1.32. I think with some more bats around him, he'll do well. Now he's an older guy. I think he's a guy you can sleep on and get something from him. Later on. Got my 5 minutes left alive there. And so what I'm going to do real quick is get ready to do your bus. I'm going to end the show on the bus, and that's going to be in overtime. So what I want to say is thank you very much for listening to the Master Plan. Again, it's me, it's Mr. Sanchez P. Sitting in for JT ATM Money as a reverend. They had other issues they had to attend to. So I thank you for sitting in with me this past hour, listening to some baseball and some football. Hope you enjoyed it, getting ready for your draft, since the season starts next Saturday with the opening series happening overseas. You might start yours probably at the end of the month or beginning on April 5th or something like that, but some of us, we like to get in the first games all together, but you never know. All right? But thanks for listening. Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's The Master Plan with JJ Timmite and The Rev, Rev Fantasy. You can also catch them on spotonradio.webs.com, streaming 24/7, along with fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Both websites are excellent. One's geared more toward live streaming radio, and one is more informational. So check them both out. You can also go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com to place some wagers on upcoming March Madness, basketball, baseball, football, anything that suits your fancy. You can go there and make a wager on and enjoy your spoils if you are right. UFC as well. I love some UFC and make some wagers on that. Then, on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have FSP Crew Show with Jeff Black and Jerry as they tackle the week's topics, sporting topics. I'm quite sure with free agency coming up, they're going to have a ton of information to talk about on Thursday. They might even have a guest or two drop in. We'll see about that. Then on Friday, you have Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor with No Chaser, whereas Matt tackles topics of social issues along with sports. We might not agree all the time on everything, but the guy has a good message at heart, and so does his guest. He wants to bring on success stories for each and everybody to listen to, and I think he's doing a good job of that. So you can check out No Chaser Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics, hosted by yours truly. It's Mr. FSP, hosted with JT18 and Mike. And this Saturday, we're going to have our live fantasy baseball draft, our live fantasy baseball draft on the air for our Money League. So you don't want to miss that. We're going to be play-by-play as to who went where and who did what. Okay? So with that being said, we got about 2 minutes left before we go into overtime. I want to thank you all for listening and enjoying our program. Let me start with the bust. Now, I can't believe this guy is listening on the bust, but Matthew Berry says that last year, even though he had good numbers, according to where people are going to draft him, he was a bust. I'm talking about Buster Posey. Now, I like Buster. Buster, what it is right now. Buster, but people are saying he's going to be a bust. I don't agree with it, but it is what it is. Monterio, Miguel Monterio was a guy that I think he hurt me last year. He did, because I would pick him up, think he'd have a good game, and, you know, he wouldn't, then I'd drop him. Then the next games or next week he has a good game, it killed me. Inconsistency, I don't like that. That's the guy I had as a bust. Now, some of these guys on the name right here are people you already know of and probably suspect are going to be busts. But at first base, Albert Pujols, Napoli, Mark Teixeira. Now, the one person here that people are saying is going to be a bust, and I think is based primarily on his average and the way that he tore it up last year, is Davis. Talking about for the Orioles, the first baseman, Chris Davis. I don't think he's going to be a bust, but, you know, based on his average and his strikeouts, it's a possibility. Brady Anderson, that's all I'm going to say for Baltimore Orioles fans. Brady Anderson. Go to second base, where a guy, I like Ian Kingsler, but they have listed as a bust, but a guy that can really upset you from time to time is Brandon Phillips. Now, they have him listed as a bust, and I see it happening. I really do. Only because he disappointed me last year over and over and over. Even though he hit 261, 80 runs, 18 home runs, 103 RBIs and 5 stolen bases, he still disappointed me. It hurt. It cut like a knife. But Brandon Phillips is the bust. Let's go to shortstop, Castro. I believe Miguel Castro, excuse me, Starlin. Not Miguel. I'm thinking of Starlin Castro for the Cubs, who's actually hurt right now. He's day-to-day. This kid had an opportunity to do great, great things last year. Didn't. 245 average, 59 runs, 10 home runs, 44 RBIs, 9 stolen bases. He's projected to do better, but I am not banking on him. I'm not. I don't want to bank on any Cub. Not just yet. Not even Shamarja, Jeff Shamarja, former Notre Dame wide receiver, current starting pitcher or ace of the Chicago Cubs. I'm not even messing with him. Now, a guy that I'm taking offense to as being in the bus category is Zimmerman for the Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman is not a bust. He's consistent. He's slightly above average. I do not consider that a bust. But Matthew Berry, I've got two words for you. I don't believe you got Ryan Zimmerman as a bust here. But, you know, based upon what he's getting paid, he should be doing more than just slightly average. So I can agree on that point. But 84 runs, 26 home runs, 79 RBI, 6 stolen bases on a 275 average is not bad, but it is average. And a lot of people reached out for him last year, so I can see why you said last year he was a bust. But I just think he's average. I don't think people should reach out for him, but that's what happens. Carlos Beltran. Now, here's one that I don't like. Here's a bust pick that I don't like. And I think that this person is totally wrong. Bryce Harper will not be a bust. The kid's going to raise his average. Yeah, last year he had 274, 71 runs, 28 home runs, 58 RBIs, 11 stolen bases. But he's got help. He's got help, and he's got pitching. So he won't have to swing for the fences as much. And that's all the Nationals need, honestly, is quality pitching. Because their bats are always going to be good. Ian Desmond, Bryce Harper, Jason Worth, who came on last year. You know, I don't like this bust pick. I'm sorry, Bryce. Don't listen to him. You'll do good this year. Now, this starting pitcher that it surprised me that someone has him listed as a bust, but Jared Weaver. I can see Granky because he did it. He was a bust, and then he picked it together. CC Sabathia, I can see it. But not Jared Weaver. I got to disagree on this. But Jared Weaver, in my opinion, is not a bust. Jared Weaver is going to be consistent. He is consistent for the Los Angeles Angels. I totally disagree with that. I would rather go on this Granky kid who, yeah, he pulled it back together in L.A. with the Dodgers, but I don't think he'll do it again this year. I think he's more apt to be a bust again than Jared Weaver. Now, relief pitcher Soriano for the Nationals. The guy's a good pitcher. He's a speedball, hot tamale pitcher. I can understand why they have him listed as a bust because, the way he throws, he's going to have to develop a second pitch or a third pitch. He has to. Or he will not last long, and he'll become a setup man again. I mean, that's the bottom line. He'll become a setup man again. There's a reason why the Nationals went out and got more than just one closer, because they were worried. So I can see, yeah, Soriano being a bust, possible bust, a relief pitcher. But Mr. Johnson out in Oakland, if he doesn't get run support, he, too, will be a bust. in my opinion. That's just FSP's opinion. If he doesn't get the run support and Oakland doesn't, they don't help that much. Not that much. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that ends this segment. And I think I got JT ATM Money on the line at the very end. I just noticed it. JT, what's going on?
I've been sitting on there for almost 10 minutes, but that's okay.
7 minutes to be exact.
7 minutes, okay. I said almost. I didn't say exactly. Anyway,
well,
I have to agree with a couple of things that you said there. Bryce Harper, I don't consider him being a bust. I don't know where that came from. There's no way I can think that he's going to be a bust. I don't know why that's out there. I like Soriano. He's been underestimated every year, and every year he's been relatively consistent. So I don't know what the heck's going on with that one. I like him as a pitcher, and I'm trying to think of there was one other player that you had earlier.
A batter, or you talking about bust, or you talking about top 10?
It was before Starlin Castro, who I think is still going to be a big disappointment.
You must be talking about Brandon Phillips.
Yes, Brandon Phillips is a very steady player. I don't understand why. He's another player that I think people underestimate, or he's not fully appreciated. He's been a steady player year in and year out. He's not a flashy player, but a steady player, and he's also a steady player in fantasy. I think I've had him last two seasons in fantasy, or tried to get him because the fact is people underestimate him, and he can give you steady numbers.
Well, that's fine. I mean, he hurt me last year because I was dependent on him for some stuff. And his average I love his numbers. He hit .261, 80 runs, 18 home runs, 103 RBI, 5 stolen bases, which isn't bad. But
that's good.
But when he's one of your top guys, hitting .261, that's not good. You know what I mean? And I understand why, you know, out of the nine panelists for ESPN list him as a bust this year. Because, I said, he has average numbers, but he's not your keystone player.
Well,
he's not a guy.
In that position, in the position that Brandon Phillips fits in, he's a utility, or he's a you don't put him in a second baseman. You put him in a I figure with the offensive fielder, whatever the heck the other category may be.
Infielder,
you don't put him in
or utility.
Infielder. I'm sorry. Yes, infielder. So you put him in those categories. You don't put him in your second baseman, but you can put him in those categories because He that's where he fits.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to jump on him. But one question I do have for you,
yeah,
and that is, do you agree that Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks is a top five draft pick this year?
Yes.
You don't even know who I'm talking about.
Paul Goldschmidt, he's the first baseman. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Hi, Mom. I know you're there.
Come on, man. Come on. Stop. 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 I know exactly who you're talking about. Thinking. He gets on base a lot, and he's got power. Absolutely. Top five pick. Top five pick. You know what? Let me put it this way. And this is maybe a bold statement, but let me put it this way. I would put another player that I really like, that I think he's going to continue to be hot like he was last year, ahead of Paul Goldschmidt. I think he's a top five pick. I'm talking about the shortstop from the L.A. Dodgers. I like Hanley Ramirez big time this year, and a sleeper on the same team that people are underestimating because he's been nicked up the last two seasons is Matt Kemp. Point to prove, got a tip on his shoulder. He's going to be once he play again this year, he's going to be that top player he was years back when people were clamoring to get him. Absolutely.
Well, the problem I see there is two things. Well, Hanley is listed at number 12 on ESPN's top 100 fantasy players this year. So I don't think that's a big sleeper. But Matt Kemp, I think he's going to be a good sleeper, but the word is he's going to be platooned. He does not want to be platooned. He wants to be an everyday player. And I think it's going to be not his call, and he will be platooned. And when that happens, he'll be healthier, but your numbers as a fantasy owner are going to decline because those games you're looking for is at-bats. He's not going to be there because he's sitting on the bench getting a day's rest or whatever the case may be. So,
okay. Yes,
Matt Kemp is a guy that I would look for, but in the later rounds.
Okay. Well, I didn't say early rounds. I just said a sleeper. And if you could pick him up in a later round, he's an even bigger sleeper. So I tell you what.
Where would you pick him up?
Where would I pick him up?
Yeah.
Probably as my third or fourth outfielder.
Third or fourth outfielder, got it. So what round is that? Is that your fifth round, sixth round? That's what I'm thinking.
He'll probably still be around it because people are a little down on him. That's tricky, depending on who you're drafting with. And you got to feel that out, that if Matt Kemp is going to be around, I always said, if you think that you want to pick a guy, pick him around earlier than what you think somebody's going to take him. So, yeah, he could be a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe eighth, but I don't think he's going to go further past that, I tell you that.
I agree.
He's got a name, and he's got the possibility of putting some serious numbers when he's healthy. So, I wouldn't sleep on him too late.
Well, here's the deal, guys. You can come through in the show, like you like to say about me, come in late as usual. Is there anything you would like to say before we get off the air?
Well, I know I'll talk to you again before next Saturday, probably Thursday or whatever. But I just want to wish you luck in your draft. Hopefully you won't suck as bad as you sucked the last few years in your drafting. I wait for the boom to leave, and then eventually, hopefully, you'll be a serious threat to get into the playoffs. We only have 9 guys already, so I hope we get a 10th person by the time the draft comes.
We will. I'll find somebody. I got an idea of a few people. I sent out 7 extra invites and stuff like that, but the Rev disappointment, even though I know his situation, I told him I'd work with him, but he doesn't want to, so I don't even know if you're going to have a Rev anymore, to be quite honest. But we'll
really?
See.
You know my number. I know your number.
Yeah. You? Anyway.
Okay.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, the old geezer, he makes his appearance later on. He's got to fill up the ATM so he can pay me. And we shall see how things go on.
I'm waiting
on the air, fantasy sports and politics. Go ahead.
I'm waiting to see if we're going to fill a full league before you get my league safe. So.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to fill it. We're going to fill it, and you're going to put the money in league safe, which then goes to me. So that's all I care about. Because I'm winning it all. I want it all. I want it all, and I want it now.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever.
Time to get up out of here. Time to get up out of here, old geezer.
Yes, sir.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying earlier, with JCH and Money on the air, we're about to get off the show, and for the Rev that did not show up because he was sinning against his people, like Dennis Swagger, it's me, it's to you, been listening to the master plan, and all I got to say is, let's go. Oh, man.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field or you going to leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank? Or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing.